best thing that ever happened to me. I just want to see the hand of those who know what I'm talking about this morning. He's the best thing. Let's pray in preparation for God's message. We delight in your presence. Our minds are with you now, God. Our hearts are open. Our spirits are ready to receive a word from you. If you don't speak, our time has been in vain. If your spirit doesn't activate my speech and the hearing of those who've come, then we have come for no real purpose. But now, God, eternity is in this moment. Transformation is in the house. Allow for your word once again to bring forth new creation. You don't need our permission to do this, God. For as your word went forth in that vast void of nothingness, it brought forth a new creation. And so, God, in our lives, for those who may be struggling with life's issues, and whose hearts are empty, null, and void, tried to fill them up, themselves up with so many different things, with money, with joy, success, with sex, with all the things that society offers, but find themselves still empty and void. We pray, God, that someone today may open their hearts for the very first time to welcome you into their hearts. Use me for this purpose, and I will always give the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Rock of Ages, cleft from me. Let me hide myself in thee. Close to thee, Lord, close to thee. Amen. Our scripture this morning is coming from St. John chapter 19, verse 25. And it reads, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. You may be seated. Right. On this Mother's Day, I want to speak to you from the subject, the godly model of motherhood. A godly model of motherhood. I was born and raised on the north side of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. As far as I was concerned, there was no better place to live in all the world. Our summers were filled with basketball and baseball played at Franklin Square Park. We'd ride our bikes 12 miles to Lake Michigan and hang out on the beach all day and in the park just watching the scenes go by. As we would get closer to supper time, we'd come home. We'd ride our bikes back home and we eat our dinner. We had to wash the dishes, me and my two other brothers, and then we could go out to play for an hour before the street lights came on. Say amen, old schoolers. We had a good time in Milwaukee. Everybody got along. On 2748 North 11th Street, that's where I lived. There was no better place to live. We had our childhood squabbles growing up, but for the most part, on 11th Street, between Center and Hadley, everybody got along. But though everybody got along, there was one thing that you never said, because if you did, you had to be ready to fight. We would argue about who fouled on the basketball court or who got tagged out on first base. But that was all right. We could argue about that, but we were still friends. After the game, we'd go talking and walking about all the things and laughing together like nothing ever happened. You could talk about somebody's big butt, their fat neck. You could talk about their four eyes, or as in my case, you could talk about my skinny legs. And we did. We joked and joked. around each other all the time. You could talk about somebody's high water pants, or you can talk about somebody's breast smelling like a gorilla's butt. But it was okay. It was okay. We never fought over that kind of stuff. You could talk about somebody's brother, somebody's sister. You can talk about an uncle or an aunt. Heck, you could even talk about somebody's daddy. But there was one person you never said anything about. I don't care how mad you got. There were two words that if you said, you had to be ready to throw down. And we all knew those words. And sounds like you know them too. You never said, "Yo mama." Those were fighting words. When you said "your mama," it didn't matter if you couldn't fight. You had to be ready to do something. Because ghetto ethics demanded that there was only one person who was revered and honored and loved and respected by everybody, and that was mother. I got a call from school one day. My oldest boy, Jason, had been fighting. Yeah, I'm talking about you today, boy. He had been in school fighting, and the principal told me what was going on, and I told the principal I'd take care of it when he got home. I got Brown Billy ready. You know, Brown Billy's my belt. That's what I name him. And we were waiting for Jason to come home because we were going to dance tonight. He came in, sat down, and I asked him why he was fighting in school. He said, "Daddy, they were talking about my mama." I said, "Oh." I said, okay. But I whispered under my voice, that's my boy. No matter how strong and tough we think we are, there's an image of unconditional love and unselfish sacrifice in our hearts that is so pristine, pure, and perfect. And we call her mother. We don't allow for anybody talk about our mothers. And it's instinctive within most of us to protect the image and integrity of our mothers. The origins of Mother's Day was celebrated in the United States back in the 19th century. The years before the Civil War, Ann Reeves Jarvis of West Virginia helped start Mother's Day work clubs. She started these clubs to teach the local women how to properly care for their children. And President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed May 9, 1946, to be the first National Mother's Day in America. And people have always been celebrating Mother's Day in America ever since. As a matter of fact, Mother's Day is the second largest commercialized day of the year, second only to Christmas. The floral industry found out that more flowers are bought on Mother's Day than on Valentine's Day. Ain't that something? I guess it makes sense. Because you ain't got a boo, you sure got a mama to buy flowers for. Say amen, somebody. And traditionally, back in the day, you know, my day, churches would always be packed on Mother's Day. But I guess mamas ain't going to church like they used to. Say amen, somebody. Your mothers are that very special gift to humanity that deserves the special attention and honor we give them. And there is nothing better in all of life, my sisters and brothers, than a good mother. And somebody ought to thank God this morning for our mothers. You know, our culture is changing. Things are not as they once were. So just in case some young mother is struggling with her motherhood, I want you to know what a good mother looks like. So I've chosen John chapter 19, verse 25, to give you a model of what a good mother looks like. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's been violently beaten beyond recognition. Isaiah saw this day coming centuries earlier and proclaimed that he was so beaten that his own mother didn't recognize him. But she's there. She's standing in front of the cross. Blood is running down his beaten and his bruised body. His hands and his feet are nailed to the cross. And those nails are supporting the entire weight of his body. He moans and he agonizes as he adjusts to try to find a position that would ease his pain. But how do you find comfort when all of your weight is resting on four nails? With just the slightest movement, shocks of pain surges through your body. And so there's Mary standing there, watching her son die on the cross. There's all kinds of people there. Not only is Mary there, but a disciple John is there. But there's also different type of people, and they're watching Jesus die. The Roman soldiers are there. They're there to mock him. There were Jews who were telling everyone who would listen, "We tried to tell you what this brother was about. He's not who he said he was." And there was even a thief being executed with him saying, "Hey man, if you get yourself down from the cross, give a brother a hookup and bring me down with you." But Jesus didn't have too many supporters there. But John records in chapter 19, verse 25, that Mary was there. And I believe that her presence gave Jesus comfort in his hour of death. Can you imagine how Mary must have felt? She stood there at the foot of the cross to see her son being executed. Can you imagine yourself standing at the foot of a cross and seeing your child being executed on the cross? It's beyond the imagination. It's hard to believe, but there she stands watching her son die. I don't know about you, but I had a tough time. My children were in pain. I mean, when I took Erica to the doctor's office, when I saw the dread in her eyes and the terror in her voice, when she got her shots, it was hard for me to just hear her get her shots. The way she cried and tried to get away from the doctors and the nurses, and my heart broke just seeing her get a shot. I can't imagine how it felt to see your only son so vilely beaten and bruised, dying on the cross. But here's Mary, brokenhearted and filled with unimagined anguish. She's standing at the cross, watching her son being killed. Now, there are a few things about Mary that I believe makes her a magnificent model of motherhood. And I want to share a few of them with you today. The first thing that stands out for me is that Mary knows how to sacrifice herself for the benefit of her son. Mary knows how to sacrifice herself for the benefit of her son. She knows how to say no to the things she wants, the things she needs, or the things she desires in the best interest of her son. There's only one disciple who stands with Mary at the cross, and his name is John. And the question that I want to ask, and I'm sure that you want to know, where are the other disciples? Where's Peter? Says, "I don't care what happens, God, I'm going to die with you." Where's Matthew? Where's John? Where's Thaddeus? Where's Bartholomew? Where are the disciples? Where are those who were supposed to be with him no matter how tough things got? Where are the disciples? Where's the 5,000 he fed in the wilderness? Where's some of the folk he healed? He cast out devils. Where are they? Shucks, where are his good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? Especially Lazarus, he should have been the first one there because Christ rose him from the dead. Where are those people that should have been there? You would think that they would be there. But Mary is there. Come to let somebody know that people can be with you in good times. But when things get a little rough, you can count the friends who will be there. Your friends and folks don't always have time or desire to deal with the stuff you're going through. But no matter who abandons you, there's always somebody who's going to be right there with you. No matter how tough things get, and there's always going to be a mother who's been with you, who'll be with you in good times and bad times. The disciples aren't there because they're afraid. They know that they're looking for those insurrectionists. They know that they're looking for those persons who are companions with Jesus. So they're now in hiding. But Mary is there. They know that anybody associated with Jesus is an enemy of the state. But though others are afraid and others don't care, Mary is right there in front, there in support of her son. She sacrificed her personal comfort so she could be there to comfort her son. Praise his holy name. And I'm certain, my sisters and brothers, that there are some mothers in Lizzie Chapel this morning who have made sacrifices for your children. Can I get a witness right here? You gave up your dream so they could discover theirs. You said no to your desires so you could say that you could say yes to their needs. You walked away from a brother that was good to you but bad for them. You gave them your best so that they could become their best. You made small and great sacrifices for the benefit of your children. I'm certain that there are some mothers here who know the sacrifice that Mary made. And for you young mothers just coming up, know that being a mother calls for sacrifice. You can no longer do your thing, do like you want to do. You can't tell nobody who to sock it to. You got to give your life and your soul over to your child. Now it's about the children. And you've got to make sacrifices for the good of those children. But not only does she sacrifice for the benefit of her son, but she learns to deal with disappointment. Do you remember the events that led up to the birth of Christ? The announcements of the angels? The singing of the angelic choir at his birth, the wise men bringing gifts, the promise of him being the anointed Messiah of God. She does what every mother does. She dreams of greatness of her child, and she prays that her child will one day become this great man of God. But now she stands in front of a bleeding. Her dreams are shattered. Her son is dying on the cross as a common criminal. He was a good boy. He was a loving boy. I did not expect for things to go down like this. She learns how to deal with disappointment from her children. Sometimes, Mama, you're going to have to learn how to deal. You're going to learn how to deal with a child ending up in that disappointing place. I know you wanted better for them, but it just didn't happen the way you had hoped. Oh, the dreams and the visions that you had when your children were young, only to see them become more mundane and more earthly and more worldly and more sinful. Useless. Oh, how your heart aches.
those dreams and aspirations that you had for your children turn into nightmares. I know you wanted better for them, but it just didn't happen the way you hoped. I know they chose a path in life that you tried to keep them off, and now your heart is broken at the thoughts of the life your child should have had. She chose a different path than you had for them. You wanted them saved and in church, but it appears that they don't even believe in God. You wanted them to go to college and become successful, but you had the hardest time just getting them through high school. You never thought you'd be a grandmother before the age of 40. You never thought you'd get a late night call saying, "Mama, come get me out of jail." You never thought that the child you labored hours to give birth and cared for with your heart and your love would stand before you face to face and say, "Mama, I can't stand you." Mothers, you're going to have to learn how to deal with disappointment. Mary had great aspirations because God told her that her son was special. And now she sees him there hanging on the cross, and she's helpless to do anything about it. Mothers know that you can be disappointed by your children. Life ain't fair. Children ain't always smart. And sometimes things will go in such a way that your children will have to find their own way. But here stands Mary, watching her son die. This is not what she dreamed of when she gave birth to Jesus. This is not how she imagined it would all end. I'm supposed to comfort a dying child? Life doesn't go like that. I'm not supposed to be here comforting him. My child is here, should be here to comfort me. And here Mary learns how to deal with disappointment. The great strength of motherhood, my sisters and brothers, is presence. They may not listen to your words. They may not follow your example. But you ought to be there for your children no matter what happens in life. You should never get to the point in life, my dear sisters, where your child makes you so angry that you throw them away. No, you've got to be there. Good times and bad times, when they're right and even when they're wrong. And the strength of motherhood is presence. Good mothers, no matter how great the disappointment, will always be there.
You know, at graduation, everybody shows up for graduation. When your name is on the honor roll, everybody's showing up and celebrating you for the honor roll. Everybody will celebrate a person, your child's promotion, and the money that's coming in from the promotion. That's all right. Everybody will be there for them in those moments. But I want you to know, my sister, that if there are mothers here that have had to deal with heartbreak and disappointment, I want to let you know that nothing shall ever separate you from the love of your child. I know they gave you a hard time. I know that they filled your nights with terror and dread, and you wondered and worried about your child, but you got to be there. And even though this, you stand with your child, you got to stand with them in the good times and the bad times. You stand there when it feels good, and you stand there when it hurts. Why is that? Because if nobody else is gonna be there, mama's got to be there.
Mary learned.
learns how to deal with disappointment, stands at the cross of her dying child. She can't do anything about it. It's out of her hand. He's chosen his way. He chose to follow the plan of God for his life. And your child may choose to follow the plan of God, or they may choose not to follow the plan of God. But the bottom line is, my dear sister, it's their choice. And there's nothing you can do about it. Mothers, there may come times that no matter how you try, you will be unable to save your children from their decisions. No matter how much you love them, no matter how much you reason with them, no matter how much you fuss them, and I would say no matter how much you cuss them, but I know ain't no folk like a Burnett in here today. No matter how much you cuss and fuss, your child has got to find their own way. And if their choices brings you to emotional pain and anguish, there is nothing that you can do about it. But I want you mothers to know that when all of your efforts have failed and your child is in a place that you can do nothing to help, God has given to you something that can and will help. Mothers have a gift that can change situations drastically. Mothers have a gift and a way of existing that can give them the confidence that the child will be all right. And that through their prayers and through their petition, that God will hear their call and answer their prayer. God has given mothers the gift of the power of prayer. And when there is nothing else you can do to help your child, don't throw them away to the devil. Take them to the Lord in prayer. There's no power on earth like the passionate prayers of a mother for her child. There is no better praying. They may be inarticulate prayers, but God knows the prayers of a mother's heart. When mothers pray, God moves in mighty ways. When mothers begin to pray, great things begin to happen. I know that there's somebody here who knows that the only reason that you are here today is because of the prayers of your mother. Praise his holy name. It wasn't because you were so smart, and it wasn't because you were lucky. No, you were blessed. How were you blessed? You were blessed to have a praying mother. There ought to be some boy, some girl, some man, or some woman that is thankful to God for a praying mother. Look how the Lord has blessed you. The Lord has shielded you from danger seen and unseen. Look how the Lord has protected you. You were doing everything else that everybody else was doing. They got caught, but you're still walking the streets. They're in the grave, but you're still walking on earth. Ain't nothing but the prayers of your mother that has kept you safe this far. And I don't know about you, but there were some things I just couldn't do. There were some things I wanted to do, but I just couldn't do. There are some things I planned to do that I know was outside of my training and my personal belief. But as I started in that direction, there was something that would block me. God put a hedge around me to protect me from my own sin and my own foolishness. And that was because of my mother's prayer. Mothers pray, God moves in mighty ways. You ought to look how far the Lord has brought you. You ain't that smart, but look at the job you got. Praise his holy name. You ain't that beautiful,
But look how well you're respected around community in the world. God is all right. Somehow you made it through that season of youthful ignorance and indiscretion. Somehow the mistakes you made didn't hurt your future or take you out of the game. And even though you disappointed mama, she kept carrying you to the altar of God. And there may be some son or daughter who still is grieving the heart of your mother. But blessed be the name of a good mother, because praise his holy name, mama is still praying for you. Praying, she's praying for your protection. She's praying for your safety. She's praying for your life. And every day, every month, every year, she's on her knees praying, God, save my child.
Mothers, just a bit of advice I want to give to you. When your child has reached the point where there's nothing that you can do to help, pray and trust God. I said, when your child has reached the point where there's nothing else that you can do, and don't give up too early. You keep trying. You keep working with them, and you keep advising them. You bring out Brown Billy every now and then, and you do what you need to do, but always pray and trust God. Pray and trust God. I said pray and trust God. Pray. Don't worry. Trust God. Pray. Don't fuss. Trust God. Pray. Don't cry. Trust God. For he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the faith that works in us. Pray and trust God. Now, there's another thing that makes Mary a model of motherhood. All that's going on, he's being crucified as a common criminal, an enemy of the state. The Jews, his own people, are responsible for him being there. The Romans are saying that he is a traitor to the Roman state. But after all that's being said, Mary still believes in the best of Jesus. No matter what people are saying, no matter what experiences he's had, she still believes the best. They were mocking and ridiculing Jesus on the cross. And Mary hears all of this. He claimed to be the Messiah, but look at him now. She's hearing all this. He saved others, but he can't save himself. She's hearing all of this. He's not of God, like he claimed to be. For the scripture says, cursed is every man that hangs and dies on the cross. She's hearing all of this. She's hears all of this, but she knows in her heart that it's not true. She believes the best. Praise his holy name. And mamas, mothers, grandmama, big mama, believe in the best of your children. Oh, they made mistakes. They've done some things wrong. They haven't listened, but believe in the best of your children. No, they're not perfect, but believe in the best. Mothers, you need to let your children know that you believe in them. You need to know that your children need affirmation from you. I know they frustrate you, and I know you don't like the direction they're going, but every now and then you ought to say something affirming to them so that they will know you believe in them. That's what every child desires.
That's what every child needs. What makes Mary a model for godly mothers is that no matter what others are saying about her son, she knows that he's not what they say he is. And I come to tell somebody this morning, no matter what label the teacher places on your child, know who your child is. No matter what others say about your child, good mothers will always be there cheering their children on. Mothers, you've got to let your child know that they are more than their GPA average. They are more than their looks and their athletic skills. They are more than ADHD. They are more than special education children. They are more than a child with autism. They are more than a child whose delinquency. They are your child, and they are God's child, and they are created in the image of God. Children need to know that mama loves me just like I am. And that's the greatest tool. That's the greatest means, by bringing your children to you. Before they can come to Jesus, in many instances, not every instance, but before they can come to Jesus, they got to first come to you. They got to get right with you. And mothers, we can never allow for things, regardless of what people say and no matter how public opinion defines your child, never be ashamed and embarrassed of your child. I remember hearing a news report many years ago of this black guy who had just committed murder. He was sentenced to life. And they interviewed the mother. And you know what she said? I know he's done some things wrong, but he really is a good boy. Society, we try to put our men and our women down. They will trounce on them and squash their psyche and steal for them their sense of human worth and human being. But mama, you need to affirm continually and constantly in the souls and the hearts of your child that they are a child of God, and you love them unconditionally, and that you will always be there with them even when they make the wrong choices in life. That's child is created in the image of God. So thank God for mothers who believe in their children. Praise his holy name. So Mary, a godly model of motherhood. Mary is a model of godly sacrifices, because here is a mother who sacrifices for herself. She sacrifices herself. She deals with disappointment. And she believes in the best of her children. And likewise, mothers, you make sacrifices for your children. You give up your desires so you can meet their needs. You've got to deal righteously with disappointments and never give in to the desire to emotionally disconnect your child from your life. And then you've got to believe in the best of your child. And in this day of transitions of culture and paradigm shifts in the home, mothers, if you want to be a good mother, use the godly model of motherhood that we find in Mary as she stands there at the cross, watching her son die. She was with him in the beginning, and she was with him in the end. If you receive this message, why don't you give God praise and glory for the word on this morning?